The Loose Cannons podcast is a free-form discussion about film that contains mature language,
such as poop and titty,
and descriptions of mature situations,
such as filing taxes and raising children.
We do not have any concern for spoilers, so if you haven't seen the film or films we are discussing and don't want to have the twists ruined for you, please watch the film before listening to the podcast.
When you said we were going to open Wakanda to the rest of the world, this is not what I imagined.
And what did you imagine?
The Olympics, maybe even a Starbucks.
Hey everyone, it's another Loose Cannons mini-sode coming at you, discussing a small, independent movie you might have heard of. It's a new release, 2018's Avengers Infinity War. I hear it's a sequel or something, directed by the Russo brothers.
Some foreign film, I think.
Yeah.
Maybe it's a remake, I don't know.
It's only playing in one theater in Birmingham. I had to drive way out to see it.
Yeah, it was hard to get to. It's hard to find this one. Screenings were scarce.
You want to give us a little plot on this movie?
Yeah, so this movie begins in space. I guess from the Thor Ragnarok, the end of that movie, all the Asgardians were in a spaceship. Their spaceship has been attacked by a huge purple supervillain named Thanos. He kills Loki and Heimdall, and basically just blows Thor up, assumingly, and then says he's going to go to Earth to get the rest of the Infinity Stones. He's looking for these stones, which Loki had one in the Tesseract.
He sends his minions to get the stones on Earth, and he goes to see the Collector.
Yeah, he goes to Nowhere, I believe is what that place is called, where the Collector had a stone also. So he's basically sending bad guys out to get these stones.
If the nerds listen to this, I don't want to get anything wrong.
Yeah.
So the they'll nerds come after us.
You can't discount the Marvel fans. They'll come after you. There's some battles take place on Earth. There's like Iron Man and Doctor Strange link up, and Spider-Man jumps in to help them out too, and they end up on this giant spaceship, and the bad guy's basically trying to take the Time Stone that Doctor Strange has. Then in Nowhere, the Guardians of the Galaxy find Thor and fly him to Nowhere. The Guardians go to Nowhere, and then Thor and Rocket fly to the Forge to try and make this, the giant space forge where his hammer was made, to see if the giant space dwarves can make him a new weapon to fight Thanos. The Guardians get to Nowhere, and it looks like Thanos is sort of like holding the Collector up, trying to figure out where the stone is, but then they realize that it's a fake, that he already has the Reality Stone and he can change reality to whatever he wants it to be, and it's basically there to lure Gamora in, because Gamora is Thanos' daughter, or adopted daughter anyway, and it's basically a trick to get her to, you know, like come to him so that he can, I guess, have her back, like capture her, hold her hostage.
He wants to know if she has any feelings for him.
She wants to know if he also wants to know if Star-Lord has feelings for her too, so he kind of sets up a little gambit there to show Star-Lord's true feelings, but it's all fake because he has the Reality Stone and he can sort of shape reality however he wants to. Then Thor and Rocket get to the Forge, find out that it's been basically destroyed and shut down, but there's one dwarf left, and so they basically set about to work, like, restarting the Forge so that he could make them a new weapon. Iron Man, Spider-Man, and Doctor Strange manage to beat the one alien on the spaceship and go to a planet called Titan, where they are gonna sort of like lure Thanos in to fight him. gosh, there's so much happens in this movie. Basically,
yeah, it probably could have been shorter, but yeah, essentially, they lure your trap, but it doesn't work in part because he tells them that he's killed Gamora, which he had to do to get the Soul Stone.
Yeah.
And Quill, instead of focusing on doing the...
getting the Infinity Gauntlet off his hand.
Yeah.
Attacks him and shakes him out of his state that Mantis has put him in.
Mm-hmm. And then on Earth, the Captain America and the other Avengers have decided to try to remove the stone from Vision's head.
Yeah.
So that he can live, and they can destroy the stone so to keep Thanos from getting it.
Yeah.
But their plan to take him to Wakanda and have the stone removed is not successful, and then Wanda kills him in order to destroy the stone, and Thanos uses the time stone to bring Vision back and then kills him again.
Kills him and takes the stone anyway. Yeah.
Yeah.
A lot of stuff happens in this movie. It's a pretty convoluted plot. I guess I could have summed it up easily by saying, like, a battle ensues for the stones.
Thanos is Thanos seeking the Infinity Stones.
Yeah. Thanos seeking the Infinity Stones. He gets them.
Yep.
that's the gist, if you want to boil it down to its base elements.
Ruben, what did you think of this movie? Oh, Ruben. I didn't like it, but I was kind of surprised to find that I didn't hate it. I figured after Civil War that whatever I liked about The Winter Soldier, which I haven't rewatched since the theater, that must have nothing to do with the Russo brothers, and I was not looking forward to essentially a bigger Civil War with more characters and more storylines and more stuff that I didn't care about. But I was surprised. I never felt like this was a 2 hour and 40 minute movie. Like, it went along pretty quickly for me. I have a lot of complaints. A lot of them are similar to other Marvel Cinematic Universe complaints, but I was really surprised that I never really felt like I was watching an almost 3 hour movie. And I was like, they did a decent job, at least in terms of keeping each individual scene tight enough, and then, you know, doing the old back at the ranch editing technique, which is whenever one scene started to drag, they would be like, we have four other storylines that we could pluck from, and then when that one, as soon as that one started to get a little bit boring, they would move to another one. And I was like, this is fine, I don't hate this.
It's like
pleasantly bored.
it's like Return of the Jedi, basically. Like, it's doing that thing where it's like, here's how the battle in Endor is going, here's how the battle in space is going, here's how Luke and Vader's battle is going.
And what about you, Patrick? What did you think of said movie?
I also did not like it. I've already kind of shared my thoughts on Letterboxd about it. I did just really feel, I don't know, kind of the aspect of it where it's like, you can kind of see the work behind the scenes going on, where it's like, all right, well, we got people up for contract negotiations, so we're gonna start killing people. We're gonna start, like, maybe these characters are gone forever. And maybe they're not, so we'll see. Maybe they'll come back from a different dimension looking different, aka new actors. So I kind of got that sense from it, where I was like, all right, some people renegotiated their contracts and some didn't. That's why I think the aspect that people are responding to the most are like, Avengers die in this movie, and there's like, people are like, oh, there's real stakes, how gutsy. And I'm like, it's not that gutsy. Like, you know, go watch the Transformers movie where they were like, we gotta clear some characters out for new toys, like, just kill a bunch of them off. I got that sense where I was like, all right, that's just what this feels like to me. It's like, uh-oh, some bigwig from corporate's coming down, you guys better be on your best behaviors. It's like Thanos is just like the corporate head, just being like, you're fired, get out of here. Like,
yeah. And of course, all of the, like, there are a couple of characters who die before Thanos does the finger snap thing.
Yeah.
And I think those probably aren't coming back, or coming back in a different form. Like, I think Vision is definitely toast.
Yeah. He's not a great character anyway. Like,
yeah.
His whole storyline with Scarlet Witch has never been a good storyline.
It doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
Although this is the first time where you see Paul Bettany not in the Vision suit or doing the voice of Jarvis, and I was like, oh damn, Paul Bettany is hot. I really hate that this movie didn't let me know that until now.
Yeah, he is really hot. He and Jim Connolly are a good power couple of hotness.
Yeah, so like all the people who, as Michael Quinn has been putting it, are dust in the wind at the end of the movie, every single one of them already has either a sequel or a standalone movie like in the works. So like, unless they're going to recast Scarlet Witch or Black Panther or all of the Guardians of the Galaxy except for Rocket the Raccoon, there's no chance that they're really dead. So it's like a weird, silly thing about like stakes. Like, if the movie ends with the ones that were all that everyone was talking about, like dying, like Captain America, Iron Man, and then you maybe throw in one that like, you know, like Gamora, you'd be like, oh, okay, so those people are for sure are really not coming back. But at the end of this, you're just like, okay, I know that Elizabeth Olsen and Chadwick Boseman and Sebastian Stan still have like two or three or five movies left on their contracts.
Yeah. And like, you know, Black Panther just made, you know, $1 bazillion as well. So it's like, there's no chance that they're not going to follow up on that. Like, they're definitely bringing Black Panther back.
Something that I thought that would be kind of interesting, but like would be interesting for the next movie, but still doesn't make this particular ending work, is if the people who were fading away or whatever are actually the people who lived. They were like, this was like whatever, Earth, hell, and real Earth being separated. And so both of them were actually seeing the same thing, but from different perspective. So Spider-Man has seen Iron Man turn into dust, and Iron Man has seen Spider-Man turn into dust, but this is the one. And I was like, that would be kind of interesting if like all of the original Avengers are dead and don't know it, and that's like the start of the next movie. But like, that ending doesn't land because I don't know it yet.
And I also think that it's interesting too that they kind of show you what happens to Thanos as well, where he gets like sucked into some sort of portal after he does it, and then he's in this like, I don't know, like green garden world that looks like it's like a dream or heaven or some sort of like weird dimension. So I'm like, I don't, did he die too? Because Thor did hit him pretty hard with that hammer, but the giant axe that he gets, the storm killer or whatever it's called. I can't remember.
I'll look it up.
It's like the Stormbreaker. That's what it's called. It's weird because I felt strange about the way that they tried so hard to humanize Thanos, where I was like, I don't think that you needed to do that much. Like, they could have done a little bit, but they try really, really hard to make that scene with Gamora where he has to sacrifice her land, and I was like, this doesn't work at all for me.
Quinn shout out on the podcast, he said that he had to try really hard to stifle his laughter during that scene. I didn't feel as strongly as negative as him, but it was maybe the most boring scene in the movie to me.
I was like, you've introduced this relationship to us like 5 minutes before in the movie, and now you're trying really hard to make it sort of the emotional climax. And
Gamora is one of the worst characters in the
MCU. Gamora is one of the least interesting characters in the entire Guardians of the Galaxy cast.
I mean, I think her and his two adopted daughters, her and Nebula, might be my last two, like, in the entire MCU verse, like, my least favorite characters.
Yep. You guys got beat up by a tree that can only say one sentence. Like, that's how not interesting your characters are.
Yeah, and like the whole like, well, first of all, I guess we'll talk a little bit about how in the comic book, in the original idea, was that he was doing this to impress Death, because Death is like a sexy lady that he's in love with, and he thinks that this will like win her affection. And I definitely think that that's like a cooler storyline. Cool is not the right word, but like it just seems so sort of like oddly timely.
Yeah, I mean it's definitely
right
more interesting, like
for how men see women and how what they think is impresses
yeah.
them. But this whole sort of like villain doing good thing, like, was already covered in Watchmen and much better. Not necessarily the movie, but
the book,
the comic books, like the whole thing of like, I mean,
yeah.
it's a slightly different like plan or whatever, but like the idea of like
uniting people through a common enemy, basically, or like I don't know, like,
and like teaching them to work together and resources, like all of that stuff is like in Watchmen. And one of the things that's interesting about that book is, I think, is that, you know, a hero comes to this conclusion. Like, Thanos wasn't like an Avenger who broke off. Like, you know, this is like the end game of what Civil War should be, which is like different people with different ideas of how you should save the world going to weird extreme ends because they have superpowers and they don't care about individual lives as much as they should after a while.
And the whole thing that they bring up about like we don't trade lives, like, seems out of left field too, because to that point, like, it's not been a thing that they've ever, it's not a piece of interior logic that's ever been introduced in any of the other movies. And like all of a sudden it's like, oh yeah, now we're on this thing where this is basically the philosophical stance that we have to take in order to be in opposition to Thanos.
Yeah.
And it's like, where did that come from? Like, where has that been set up in any of these other movies? You just need it now because you've got a villain who is taking an opposite stance.
And
you know,
this is a, like the type of thing that doesn't really bother me, but it seems like such an easy fix that I don't know why it wasn't included. But like, why, what is it about the Reality Stone that keeps Thanos from just creating more resources, if that's his problem?
Yeah.
Like, if he's like, oh, there aren't enough resources to sustain life. And I'm like, okay, but you have the ability to do anything with your gauntlet. So make the life sustainable.
Yeah.
With that,
or like, if people
super
are suffering,
gauntlet.
Like, give them a new reality that, you know, like, makes them happy. Like, if people are suffering, supposedly, like, his logic doesn't really make sense from that. You're right about the thing about like a hero coming to that conclusion, though. Like, the idea is much more well presented in Watchmen, because it's like,
and when it comes to that point, like, you as a reader, when Rorschach refuses to go along with it, you're like, I don't know. Like, you're like, I'm kind of okay with it. Like, this is awful, but like, we're already here at this point. Why are you throwing it under the bus once it's already happened? And like, Rorschach's weirdo commitment to the truth, like, suddenly becomes like even more of a flaw than it was in the past. And I was like, oh, this is a really sticky, unpleasant moral situation to be in. But none of that morality is in this. Like, this film is never like, oh, it's Thanos' movie, Thanos is the main character. And it's like, yeah, but we're never on his side. The audience is never,
he's
like,
he's a bad guy who's killing the beloved characters, you know? Like, you're not, there's no way that that's supposed to make you on his side. Like, if there is a character that probably, like, everybody at one point or another has, like, sided with, it's, like, probably Loki, as far as, like, Marvel fans go. And it's like, people love Loki, even though he's a bad guy, like, people like him because he's a, you know, he's a trickster, he's a rascal.
He's charming.
Yeah, he's you know, Tom Hiddleston. He's, you know, this, like, beautiful man who, like, shows up and is, like, witty, and and then, like, he just murders him in the first 5 minutes of the movie, and it's like, there's no way that they're doing that to get you on his side, like...
That's another weird thing about this movie. It's not weird to me personally, because I didn't like Thor Ragnarok, so it doesn't matter, but the movie basically undoes everything that Thor Ragnarok is about. Did you watch Thor? I forget.
Yeah, I did.
And, like, obviously, among many people, not just people who like the MCU, but even some people who were, like, outside of the MCU were, like, brought in for Thor Ragnarok and thought it was, like, a very charming, funny, like, smart movie. And even though I disagree with that, it seems weird that, like, the very beginning of this movie is, like, everything that that movie did has been erased. So the Asgardians were not saved.
Yeah.
By Thor's actions. Thor understanding, you know, that he doesn't need the hammer to be the god of thunder is erased, because then he spends 40 minutes in this movie
getting a new hammer. Yeah.
New weapon. And yeah, it's like, so what was the point of that movie now?
Yeah.
To introduce Tessa Thompson into the MCU first. It's the only point.
it's very weird to me because, like, yeah, the interior logic of the MCU doesn't make sense, like, movie to movie. Like, they don't even know what their characters are about from film to film. They just fill whatever need they have for, you know, their story idea. So they're like, we have this story idea, so the characters have to constantly, like, change their stances in order to fit the new story idea. That was another big problem with Civil War, where it was like, all of a sudden, like, Iron Man and Captain America's, you know, like, playful two sides of the same coin banter had to escalate to, like, we literally want to fight and, like, try and kill each other, basically. And I was like, that feels so incredibly forced. And here it also feels forced, where it's like, we just have to be introduced to these new stakes that these characters didn't have in movies before, all of a sudden. And you have to spend all this time, like, getting us in this mindset of, like, all right, this is what the characters care about. Now we're realigning what's important to them again. You know, it feels very fatiguing
to go through that. With Thor, like, you in this previous movie, I mean, we get Odin dying, and, like, we get him obviously being pretty upset about that, but overall the movie still feels very silly. And then in this movie, it's like, you know, Thor is supposed to be grieving, and I think Chris Hemsworth is a pretty good actor, and so I think he's able to deliver a lot of that interiority to the character. But yeah, it's kind of like, couldn't someone have told Taiki Waititi that that's what was going to happen in Infinity War, so that the other movie doesn't feel so thrown under the bus by this one? Like, I think it's an interesting place for the character to go, and it's not, I would say, my favorite thing in general about these universes is the way in which Captain America and Thor feel different than, I'm not an avid comic reader, but different than my ideals of them growing up. Like, Captain America, maybe this is more in the comics, but again, you know, I think of him as, like, a bit of a jingoist. But he's actually betrayed the government, and it's been like, I have ethical standards that the government isn't living up to. Like, I'm not Captain America, I represent America. I'm Captain America, I represent the actual ideas that America was supposed to be built on and has failed. And so that makes me at odds with the American government. I think that's interesting. And the same thing with Thor is, like, Thor's uniqueness as his characters is, like, inhumanity, and yet all they've done is humanize him over the course of the movies. Like, starting, like, the very first Thor movie, I find him to be, like, a very boring character, and now he's, like, become interesting. But they haven't, I don't know, I don't remember why I started talking about this, but it's the thing that I find interesting about the movies, but it's not done in a consistent enough way to keep me really excited for
them. And I can see that, like, coming into characters that are well established that you think you sort of have a handle on, like, you know, outside of the stories that they're placed in, and, like, because the films are a separate entity from the comic books, like, they have, you know, diverged in terms of where they've taken the characters, and some in good cases, some in bad cases. I feel like Tony Stark's maybe, like, taken to a place that is a little bit insufferable a lot of the times, and especially, like, this whole relationship with Pepper Potts in this, like, doesn't even really make sense. Like, they bring, you know, Gwyneth Paltrow back for one scene to I don't know what. Like, I don't know to what end that scene happens, where it's just like, all right, we're gonna put this, like, scene where Tony's talking about getting married and having a kid right before he goes into this giant war, but then it nothing about that ever pays off in the movie.
Trying to raise the stakes.
The
stakes weren't high.
It feels very artificial.
Gwyneth's looking good, though.
Do what?
Gwyneth is looking good.
Well, yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's the thing, is, like, I kind of wish they would bring, if they're going to bring Pepper Potts back, like, bring her back, like, into the story. Don't have her show up for one scene every now and then, you know, like, give her something to do like you did in Iron Man 3. Like, you know, have
fight
her
in a suit.
Yeah, yeah. Get in a suit.
One of the best moments in the entire MCU verse.
I know, like, her in the suit, and then her with the like, flame powers, where she just, like, destroys the villain at the end. I was like, hell yeah, like, fucking put her in the middle of something. It's
yeah, all of the romance is, like, really underdeveloped and bad in all of them, even when it's between two major characters, like Star-Lord and Gamora.
Mm-hmm.
They don't do a good
job.
That
one's bad, like, you know, Black Widow and Hulk is bad, like...
I didn't see Age of Ultron, so I don't even...
Yeah,
you know,
it's,
I just
it's
have seen it be awkward in other movies, but not...
It's real bad. It's even people who are, like, you know, Marvel fans are just like, ugh, awful, bad, get it out of here. I think that's why it's been so, like, off the screen in all the other movies from that point on. But yeah, it's... None of that has... Yeah, man, these movies are so bad at romance. Just in general. Just very, very bad at it. And also, like, certain characters are not on screen for inexplicable reasons. Or it's like, where, like, Hawkeye is a, like, core member of the Avengers, but he's not in the movie at all, and they don't really do a good job of explaining it. You know, it's not, like... It's weird to think about, but, like, it feels like that
explanation
moment.
Is he's trash and not that helpful.
he's a garbage character, but, like,
like,
the Earth is in peril. Like,
he's, like, not better than M'Baku, who's just, like, a strong dude.
Yeah, yeah, but, like, you know, it's weird to me. Also, Daniel Kaluuya's character is gone, too, mysteriously, like, not in this movie. It's like, I guess he could be there fighting with them, but he's not in the movie, and I don't know why.
He might be in prison.
Maybe. I don't know.
Betrayed T'Challa. It seemed like things were cool at the end of that movie, though.
Yeah, it seems like everybody got back together. Like, it seems like, you know, Wakanda would be united at that point. Because, I mean, like, his tribe's still there. Like, his whole tribe would be in jail if he was in jail, for sure. But, like, his tribe's there with their shield capes.
They were just following orders.
Oh, boy. The Wakanda trials.
Since we're talking about Wakanda, as much as I can get upset about these movies, I'm upset that I don't know the status of Shuri. The one character in the entire MCU verse that I care about.
it's
save Shuri.
It's very perplexing, the people that they choose to show at the end too, that where, like, people are blowing away, and it's just like, all right, well, we saw some of the people that we followed around in this movie, but not everyone. What happened to the other people?
Just a 25-minute sequence of whether or not every single character has been introduced
okay?
to lives or dies.
Okay? Yeah. It's very strange to me. Yeah, I don't even remember. Did we see Benedict Wong's character?
No.
I can't even remember. Like, I guess he's still back in New York.
It's whoever very strange he though. Went with? Yeah. Didn't he go with somebody somewhere?
I thought so. He was fighting with Spider-Man at one point, but then he disappears from the movie, so I don't really know if he was... I don't know if he just, like, stayed in New York or what. It's strange. But yeah, again, like, the logic of this movie is kind of all over the place because there's too many characters to keep track of, by and large.
I like when they cut off that one minion of Thanos' hand using the portal. That was a good trick.
Yeah. I mean, there were some nice tricks. I thought the one that they killed that guy with where they just, like, blow a hole in the ship and he gets sucked out, I was like... That seems a little, like, this guy withstood a lot of stuff. Like, just being sucked down into space doesn't seem like it would kill him, you know? Like, Thor seems all right when he goes into space. I don't know.
Yeah. He had, like, the whole, like, controlling reality power, and so I thought maybe he had, like, a fragile body and they just had to get the jump on him and they hadn't been able to.
Maybe.
Before then, but, yeah, it's... Who knows?
I don't know. It's not well-defined.
It's a continuing... It's a problem with these movies, but it's a continuing problem with all big action movies to introduce supernatural powers, which is, like, power levels. Like, what...
Yeah,
try to keep that consistent. Like, what's-her-face? Scarlet Witch is supposed to be, like, the most powerful superhero on Earth, and she and Vision get the crap beaten out of them by those two guys, and then... Yeah. Black Widow, Vulture, and Captain America, and, like, I know Captain America is strong, but, like, the other two are just people.
Yeah, they're humans. Like, I don't understand, like, how, like, a gun does as much damage as, like, Scarlet Witch's, you know, like, witch power or whatever. Because, like, Sebastian Stan is, like, shooting aliens with just, like, a machine gun, and then, I can't remember who it is. They're like, I want that gun. Like,
Rocket, of course.
Yeah, oh, yeah. And Rocket has, like, a space machine gun or whatever. Yeah. Like, it's like, how is that, like, Earth machine gun any better than the gun he has? Like, this is shooting, like, lasers at people. It doesn't make any sense.
But, yeah, I was like, are they winning this fight just because they're, like, on, like, a very good level in terms of, like, silent communication and are just super well trained to work together? Is that way they're winning? Because I was like, how is Black Widow even holding her own with an alien?
Yeah, she doesn't have superpowers. She's just a spy.
She doesn't even have Wakanda technology. This is an argument.
That's the thing. Is that I feel like these movies miss is that they don't actually use the powers that the people have in any interesting ways. Like, if you wanted to utilize Black Widow in an interesting way, like, have her be the one who's always, like, gathering information or, like, getting, like, sneaking into places. Like, have her do a lot of the Loki stuff. Like, it seems
bring
like...
Bring back the Mission Impossible face.
I mean, you could, like...
It's one of the best parts of those movies is when people rip off their head and reveal a new head underneath.
Yeah, I mean, that should be her thing, though. Like, her character is a spy. Like, that's her... I guess her end to being an Avenger is, like, she's a very good spy. She's good at gathering information. You know, she's good at, you know, like, infiltrating, I guess. And she never does any infiltrating. Like, she just shows up and fights alongside them and just, like, punches people. And I'm like,
yeah,
what? That's not what her power is.
You know? And, like, in the old Battle of New York or whatever, she's, like, taking out a single alien at a time. Well... Hulk is taking out, like, a dragon.
Yeah.
It's like, I mean, I guess she's helping.
I guess, but all she's got is guns. Like, couldn't every person on the ground just start shooting guns into the air? Like, wouldn't that be useful? I don't know.
Why is it Yosemite Sam on the Adventures? He's rooting tooting aliens! Yeah. And, man, I'm not as bothered by the action in this, except for the first part of the Wakandan fight scene is cut in its normal shitty way. But I would say that I was a little bit, like, catered to in a way that I did not appreciate when the, like, three women, I don't know the name of the, like, head general for Wakanda or whatever, I can't remember her name, and Black Widow and, like, Scarlet Witch all team up to beat the alien woman, and I was like, I get it. You know that feminism is a thing. Congrats.
Women can do stuff.
Yeah, I didn't like that.
I think it would have been maybe more interesting if it had been them fighting the, like, giant Hulk guy who is, like, I don't know, the, like, Hulk. And then having the woman fighting Hulk in the armor, like, may have been a more interesting... Because there would be, like, a contrast of styles then. Because she kind of fights the same way they fight. And, you know, the Hulk guy fights, you know, like, the Hulk or whatever. He fights in a kind of a combination between Hulk and Thor, where he also has, like, a big axe that he hits people with.
Speaking of storylines that sort of come out of nowhere and don't have a conclusion in this film, maybe they'll get something interesting will happen with the next film, although I don't have a lot of hope, is why Banner can't turn into the Hulk.
Oh, yeah.
It's like, is it just a joke? Or is it, like, has something happened? Is he just scared of Thanos? Like, we don't get anything about that storyline, but they keep returning to it.
I assumed it was because the Hulk got beaten up by Thanos, but
that was my assumption, but it's not explained.
It's not explained at all.
What this movie needs is a scene of him having a dream where he and the Hulk are, like, fighting as they're falling through the air, a la the original Hulk movie directed by Ang Lee.
There you go. Again, it doesn't do a good job of utilizing him as a character, though. Like, because it's like he's basically just doing the Iron Man stuff, but, like, in a goofier way. And I'm like, you just kind of repeat, you know, people's powers with other characters, and it's like, it's not that interesting to me. Like, I've already got a character who does the Tony Stark thing. Like, do something different with them. Like, have some different piece of strategy that needs to happen.
Yeah, I mean, that sort of boils down to the issue of the, like, they don't really understand what makes fight choreography engaging. Because, like, so much of this movie and all of them just boils down to, like, punching. Like, we're punching people.
Who
everyone's
can punch
punching
more people faster. Yeah.
It's like Iron Man can shoot his punches.
Yeah.
Can launch his punches at people.
And
everyone
they even just, like,
up close.
They even give us these just, like,
only
faceless
Spider-Man
aliens.
Gets, like, a kind of unique thing. Like, Spider-Man is the only one whose, like, powers are actually utilized in a way that, you know, has to do with his fighting.
Yeah. And I mean, like, there's a little bit of interesting stuff with Doctor Strange, but again, like, they could have utilized that idea of, like, time, because it feels like they have these Infinity Stones that they could be, like, if the whole idea of the Infinity Stone is that you can, like, wield the power of the stone to do something to affect, you know,
the,
like,
power
time.
Of the stone and the palm of my hand.
Yeah, but like, that's what Thanos says. Like, when he gets it, he actually, like, uses the stones to whatever effect they are. And, like, if you have those stones, like, shouldn't they be able to utilize them with that effect? Like, shouldn't Doctor Strange be able to do his little, like, you know, the time trick that he actually does at the end of the Doctor Strange movie, where he defeats the space demon by just, like, repeating the same fight over and over again until he wins? And, like, trapping him in a time loop. And I was like,
being annoyed by Doctor Strange.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I was
that movie was, like, the closest to doing something interesting with this action, but then didn't. Like, the way that it would do it was obviously, like, a Syriac ripoff, whether or not they knew about Syriac going into it or whatever. But they would do these cool Syriac moments, and then the fighting would start. And I'd be like, no, keep doing it while the fighting is going on. Yeah. But no, then they would just, like, throw axes at each other. And I was like, whatever.
It's like, shield. Yeah, or whatever.
The cloak's kind of cool. I hate that they use it for jokes, but it's an interesting addition to a fight scene that his cloak can fly off and attack things.
Yeah. Yeah, and I mean, even that, like, it's a little bit different of a way of fighting that, like, you know, I don't know, it doesn't seem interesting to me when you go into a fight and, like, somebody's powers that they have guns, you know, like, that's basically, like, that's Star-Lord, that's the Winter Soldier, like, You know, that's Black Widow. It's just like their powers, they have guns.
Yeah, but he has a metal arm, so he can pull the trigger even faster than a normal human.
Pull the trigger so hard, shoot the bullets faster or something.
Hard and fast. Yeah, that's a big moment made of him deciding to put the metal arm back on for the fate of the world, and then it never comes up.
Doesn't use it, yeah.
And then he gets dusted. It's like, all right. By metal arm, it'd be fun. It'd be a funny joke if when he turned to dust, the metal arm fell to the ground.
Yeah,
rather than turning to dust.
That was what I didn't understand too. Is that like, when people disappear, like their equipment disappears too? I didn't really understand that. I was like,
they
why
always
does...
do that and stuff.
Yeah, it's I don't confusing. Know. But like, why does the cloak
Buffy the
disappear?
Vampire Slayer sometimes things people are holding turns into dust too when vampires get dusted, and sometimes the thing stays in reality.
Yeah. That was the thing. I was like, why is Doctor Strange's cloak disappear when he disappears? Because it's not part of him. It's a separate entity. It's its own living entity. So I don't... Just weird inconsistencies like that, too. It just... It feels like they just didn't care, or they just
It's not their focus, I think is the generous way of putting it. Is that that's not...
Yeah, that's a better way of putting it. Is that... They're just like, we just want to, like, you know, tell a story about an epic battle.
Yeah, that's the thing, is that I think that they are, the people who are working on this, again, to be generous, see themselves as storytellers, and that these are just vessels for stories, and so they're not invested in those things, but, like... It would be nice if they realized that those are storytelling devices, that the action sequences in better movies like Casino Royale and Spider-Man 2 don't just get me hype, but actually tell me something about the characters and their struggle and what they care about. And in this movie, you know, it is very much like watching someone else play Mortal Kombat. Like... Are they going to do the correct sequences of moves to win or not? Yeah. They did. I guess that's cool. I wanted my friend to win the game.
and then they, you know, they sort of like stage them in a way that can just include everybody. Basically, the whole idea is to just get those characters in there and just like let them have a moment, like, here's a moment for this character, here's a moment for this character, here's a moment for this guy, like, he does his thing, like, this person does their thing, like, it just feels like, oh, you get a moment where, like, fans of a character kind of, like, pump their fist for a second, and it's like, alright, on to the next thing, like, we're not here to really, like, develop anything about that character in any way, just having their face on the screen, doing a cool move is enough. That feels like what a lot of the movie ended up being.
Fair enough. What do you think of Thanos?
I mean, I don't know. He doesn't seem that unique in any way. I couldn't really tell you what his power is outside of just... being able to punch things harder.
He's literate Hulk.
I guess, yeah. He just punches things harder than anybody else, I guess. Again, like, not that well established, like... I mean, they sort of get into why he's doing what he's doing, but it doesn't really make that much sense. Like, he's just,
I think,
like,
Josh Brolin is okay. I was surprised. I thought that I would care nothing about it, but I like Josh Brolin. He's a decent actor.
He's pretty good.
As far as big blue or purple guys who hit things, yeah, I think he does a better job than, like, Lee Pace or, I don't know, most of the other villains.
Yeah, he's no, God, what was that? Steppenwolf. He's no Steppenwolf.
Oh, yeah.
From Justice League. That's maybe the worst example of a villain. It's just like, I'll get you. Ah, like, that's his only emotion.
I still can't believe that that's his name.
Yeah.
We stopped Steppenwolf, but an even stronger, better villain has been released called Led Zeppelin. And he has a brother named Judas Priest.
No. And his minions, the Doors. I don't know.
I like this. This is all gold. We should be writing a script.
Where just all the characters are named after rock bands. Sounds like it actually sounds like JoJo's Bizarre Adventure now that I think about it.
I do not know what that is.
That's an anime. A lot of the characters are just named after rock figures. Or just like famous people, weirdly. I don't know. That particular I guess you would call him the artist or the creator of that series, though, just likes to do that. When he likes a thing, he'll just name a character after, like, the whole name of the thing, or like half the name of the thing. Like, he has a character named Walken in one of his movies because he's just named after Christopher Walken.
Classic.
I don't know. It's just the thing that he was into at that point.
Do I have anything else to say about Avengers Infinity War? I don't think so.
I think we nailed it.
Yeah. It was not unpleasant to me, but it was not anything to write home about either.
Yep, that guy from corporate really cleaned house in this one.
There were massive layoffs in the MCU-verse. A couple
There's
trillion of them.
Restructuring going on. Restructuring. We're going in a different direction, not picking up your option.
That's
the Emperor's New Groove, though.
As long as we live in a world where MoviePass exists, I guess I'm going to keep seeing these movies, because I've already committed myself to seeing Ant-Man and Wasp. No? Oh, I remember the other thing I was going to say, why I was, like, holding off.
Yeah,
is
Ant-Man.
Busy. Robbing people, hopefully. Hopefully rich people. So I got home from this movie I'm going to give 2 stars to. Basil wants me to hide my rating, so it won't be up yet. But, and 2 stars is kind of like, 2 and 2.5 stars is in a way kind of like the worst rating, not the worst movies, but it's just like, I didn't care. I'd rather feel strongly negative, usually. But I still came home and I spent like 2 hours like reading stuff, and I was like, man, imagine if this was like a universe that I cared about, how jazzed I would be to do this as opposed to like feeling obligatory. And I realized there's a side of myself that like doesn't even really get tapped into anymore now that I've basically like eschewed like the Harry Potter universe or whatever, which would have been like in my early 20s what I would have felt this way about. And I was like, it's kind of sad that like there's this whole section of me that's like an obsessive dork that doesn't really get accessed because all the stuff made for obsessive dorks is so boring.
Yeah. Yeah, I can see that. That's why I my obsessive dork stuff kind of goes towards like, I don't know, like tabletop games or stuff that I can like have some creative control over, or even just like, I don't know, movies. Also,
yeah.
So I'm an obsessive dork about movies. The movie.
I just like read a bunch of stuff about like, you know, Easter eggs in this movie, or like alternate interpretations of the ending and stuff like that. And I was like, I wish I cared about the stuff that I was reading, because it would be cool. I remember like similar, but it was so well written and enjoyable, that before Force Awakens came out, there was a theory on Reddit that became repopularized about Jar Jar Binks being a Sith, and it was so well written and like well organized. I was like, man, I don't really care about these movies at all, but this is just, I really like watching somebody else care about it.
Yeah.
And I was like, I wish I did care, because then this would be even more enjoyable than it already is. I guess I care about The Last Jedi.
Yeah.
Although entirely vicariously. Like, I think it's an all right movie, but now because Basil really likes it, and I buy his reasoning for why he likes it, I get weirdly defensive about it when other people don't. On Twitter, if I see someone dislike The Last Jedi for a dumb reason, I immediately block them.
Yeah. It's one of those, like, bellwether movies, I feel like, now, because when I hear somebody who's, like, really hating on it, I'm like, what are your motivations? You know, I'll just, like, look into them. I'm like, what are you up to, sir? It's usually a dude, too.
Yeah.
Honestly, that's usually the reason why, is because it's always just, like, dudes who have really problematic views on things, and I'm like,
I assume the women who don't like The Last Jedi just don't feel the need to talk about it constantly. Which is,
yeah, that's part of the problem too, is it's usually dudes who just feel like yelling about it on the internet. And I'm like, alright, I see where your head's at.
Like, I walked out of The Force Awakens, which I didn't like. I wrote a review a couple of days later that probably took me about an hour or two, and then I never really talked about it again. It's come up organically once or twice, but really I didn't really feel the need to, you know, continue to, what is it, grind it? There's something about having an axe to grind with it.
Yeah.
I never really felt like I had to keep grinding that axe.
Yeah.
It's just like, it's bad. I didn't like it.
Mm-hmm. I feel that.
Time to move on with my life. Unlike, say, Gone Girl, which I will inorganically just bring up sometimes to be like, I hate that movie.
Gone Girl!
Do have an axe to grind with that movie.
Yeah.
If you do not have an axe to grind with us, you should subscribe to our podcast using your podcast listening application.
That's right.
Visit our website to look at all of our content. And you should give us money via our Patreon, patreon.com. I think you said last time that it was Loose Cannons Podcast, but I'll check right now. I have the ability. Yeah, it's just Loose Cannons, same way that it's spelled, to go to the website. And please join our other Patreons, Michael Quinn, Durst Nora, and Adam Underwood. We really do appreciate it. Thanks for listening to this mini-sode.
Thanks.
Bye. I'm gonna go to the bathroom.